This is Armand DeMille with you with The Private of Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. With you for 2 hours today, a two-hour special. Bringing you ideas, concepts, guests, associates, help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio is Hara Marano, who is fabulous, so interesting, and it has to do with children who can't make their own decisions, who can't cope with anxiety, who can't handle difficult emotions without going off the deep end. And Hara, this is amazing. Welcome to WBAI.
Nice to be here.
Hara, start me off with the example of the airplane.
Rather than adult relationships taking a kind of precedence in our culture, it's the parenting relationship that is now really center stage in our culture. And it may be the parents are doing this because they're not getting the kind of financial, cultural, and institutional support that parents have in other cultures. For example, in Scandinavia, you have parental leave policies that support parenting. In this culture, we don't have those things. And so parents may be sort of on the aggressive side because there are not the institutional supports for all kids and all parents.
Pardon me, Hara, but the point is that the parents don't get support. And what they're doing as a result, you started with that, is they have these strollers that are now have bumpers on all sides and airbags, right, and have parachutes in case anything should happen.
Right.
The ground should fall out, and they are perfectly immersible in water, and they turn into rocket ships.
That's right.
If need be.
Mm-hmm.
This is an example of what's going on with our children.
Right.
Monkey bars have gone away.
We've tried to make them extremely safe and extremely comfortable. These are all very noble and desirable qualities among parents. But I think the parents have gone too far and forget that the ultimate goal of parenting is to produce an independent, autonomous human being. So the question is, how is it that those who mean only the best for their kids wind up bringing out the worst in them? Because at the end of the day, when you look at the invasive parenting that is now going on among parents in the middle class and above, their kids, by the time they leave home for college, are breaking down psychologically in record numbers. And we have to ask, why is this happening?
Where's the evidence for that? I mean, you as somebody I know who checks all her figures and knows what you're doing when you're doing your stuff, where's the evidence of this? I mean, where do we see
this? Oh, there's phenomenal evidence for this. And this is where, in a sense, my book, the title of which, by the way, is A Nation of Wimps, The High Cost of Invasive Parenting. The book began with the observation that college kids are psychologically breaking down and that colleges are inundated with record numbers of students requiring counseling on the campus. And the original article I did was called A Crisis on the Campus.
Is this privileged children you're talking
this
about?
I'm not sure it's only privileged children. To a degree it is, but I would say this phenomenon refers to the middle class and above, and it's largely focused around the concerns and the efforts of parents to get their kids into a brand name college, which they believe will give their kids the best shot of success in an uncertain world.
Too many bottles of this wine we can't pronounce. Too many bowls of that green, no Lucky Charms. The maids come around too much. Parents ain't around enough. Too many joy rides in daddy's Jaguar. Too many white lies and white lines. Super rich kids with nothing but loose ends. Super rich kids with nothing but fake friends.
And that's what a brand name does.
That sounds like a parent who's concerned about their own image and how it's going to look to have their child in the college.
I want to define what it is When I say psychologically breaking down, we are talking about colleges being swamped with huge numbers of students who are experiencing major depression, severe anxiety disorders, panic attacks, eating disorders, which are really disorders of perfectionism. We're talking about self-mutilation. We're talking about really serious psychological problems. And this is a relatively new phenomenon. The kinds of problems, the incidence of the problems, the severity of the problems have all been increasing over the past decade.
Extra fragile?
Extra fragile.
Extra fragile, like a kind of extra fragile. Now, the sign, of course...
But I want to go back to how do I document this.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. And I first started documenting this in the year 2002. And I was really very fortunate because my first inkling of this problem came about in a conversation I had with the head of the Student Health Service at Harvard University. And the reason for that is that I imagined, wrongly, I might say, that this was a phenomenon of the pressures put on elite Eastern urban kids trying to get into elite schools. And I was really disabused by the head of the Student Health Service at Harvard. And he said, no, this is happening everywhere, across the country, all kinds of schools. And he mentioned that he was on a listserv of all the counseling center directors at colleges and universities across the country. And I got off the phone with him, and I was reading over my notes, and I saw that he said he was on this listserv. And I called him back, and I said, hey, you're on this listserv. Would you mind putting out a query for me? And I then was in touch with 500 heads of college counseling centers who were literally on the front lines of dealing with all these kids who are experiencing major psychological problems. And it was from conversations with hundreds of them that I learned what was going on and why and how they are struggling to find ways to deal with this literal epidemic of disorder.
The educators are trying to deal with the epidemic of the disorder of men and women who are becoming compliant because they've been a little overprotected, or they've been overprotected. Now, isn't this also, maybe more noticeable because the parents nowadays put more pressure on the educators to perform in a certain way and have their children perform? So the educators are more in panic about it because we have a nation of narcissistic parents who are aiming at the educators and saying, why aren't you doing better for my child?
Well, I think that the parents have turned educators into service providers
for
them.
Absolutely.
I feel for the educators because I think that for the most part, and particularly in the public schools, the K through 12 schools, the teachers and administrators are really on the spot. Parents are really over-involved, and I don't want to use my own experience as a benchmark, but I have to say that when my kids were, and my sons are in their 30s, this was not a phenomenon that was related to them or any of their peers. But, and in part, because the schools, the public schools are failing, they have asked the parents to step in and monitor their kids' homework. So what's happening is parents are literally being ushered through the front doors of schools, and the parents are making all kinds of demands. They want to see their kids succeed. What we're really talking about is a world in which parents know the world is different now. They know that what it's going to take for the success of their child is different from what it took for them to be successful. They don't know what it's going to take for kids to be successful, but they are worried about the future success of their kids. Their anxiety forces them to monitor and over-monitor every single little thing that their child does, endowing every action of their child with an importance it just doesn't have, and giving their child absolutely no room to discover themselves, to fail, to pick themselves up, to learn how to cope with life's normal vicissitudes. And that's why these kids are really suffering psychologically, because then they do experience an impediment and they're completely, totally overwhelmed. When and that's usually when they leave the protective cocoon of home to go off to college.
When and if they leave the protective cocoon at home, if the cocoon doesn't follow them to
college. It does. Actually, one of the things I say is that the parents now go off to college with their kids, in some cases quite literally, but I mean quite figuratively. They're in the jeans pockets of their kids because they're attached by cell phone, which is the eternal umbilical cord.
Why didn't you answer your cell phone is a question that nobody should ever have to answer.
Right.
You know, why didn't you answer your cell phone is a question that parents are asking children. And I know young people who are at college who literally bring their laundry home to their mom.
Oh, yes. Absolutely
it's
true.
It's like, Mom, here's my underwear. This is Armand DeMille. My guest, Hara Estroff Marano, M-A-R-A-N-O, author of A Nation of Wimps. We're talking about what is happening to our children and their overprotected lifestyles that is kind of leading to a compliance in children that Hara sees. Hara is the editor or an editor at Psychology Today and has done a study of this item and many other items. She's well known for her collecting information. Hara, I want to go back to what happened on the airplane. I want to talk about the kid and the
bubble
hotel.
Wrap.
Yeah. It's
this is a
beautiful.
Great story. Not long ago, I was sitting in a living room in Los Angeles where one of my sons lives, and friends of theirs came over to visit. And this was a pre-childbearing couple who had just said goodbye to visiting relatives. These relatives had come to them from the Midwest. Her cousin, the cousin's husband, and their 2-year-old toddler daughter. And when this couple and their daughter got off the plane in Los Angeles, they jumped into a taxi cab and they asked the taxi driver to where the nearest Home Depot was and could he please stop off at the nearest Home Depot. And indeed he did. And they ran in and they came out with a roll of bubble wrap. And they went to their hotel and proceeded to bubble wrap their entire hotel room. Now, hotel rooms are not particularly dangerous places, but this is really a metaphor for what is going on. Parents are completely trying to bubble wrap and insulate their kids from real life, from falling down, which is a very important method of learning. We learn more from our failures than from our successes. And neurologists and neuroscientists can explain why this happens. There are mechanisms in the brain set up for us to learn more from failures than from successes. And negative things weigh more heavily on the brain and make a bigger impact on them. So indeed, we do learn more from our failures than our successes. But parents are now so worried about the future success of their kids that they think the way to solve the problem is to clean up after their kids and protect their kids and to make the world very safe for their kids. And the irony is that in trying to do the best for their kids, they wind up bringing out the worst in them.
It's not only the worst, but they put their child at risk.
Well, yes, their kids are totally unprepared to cope with the future. And with the future of uncertainty, which is what the parents are worried about in the first place.
Now, Hara, I would expect that all of this comes from, you know, some, and I'm going to use a generalization, but a narcissistic generalization, a generation of parents who bring up children who have a sense of entitlement. And these kids have this sense of, like, I'm entitled, I'm a prince, you know, or a princess, and I have this sense of entitlement. When they are confronted with rejection, with some of the harsh realities of life, their reactions are like shattering a narcissistic ego. It's like you're breaking the entire glass house. they don't take a simple rejection as being something that is something you learn from.
No. And one measure of the inability of these young people to tolerate rejection. Look, no one loves rejection, but you don't necessarily have to go to pieces over rejection. But one of the most important signs that they are completely shattered by rejection is what's going on college campuses. And the rate of violence is going way up on college campuses.
How does that correlate? How does the rate of
the rate of violence is going up in response to romantic rejections. Stalking, huge jumps in rates on college campuses where someone is rejected as a date or a suitor, and they wind up stalking their prey to the point of violence. And this is something absolutely shocking that's going on college campuses.
Where did you get any evidence?
These are data that are collected on college campuses.
I'm sure you're talking from the place of having the data.
There are definite forms that are filled out. These require reporting, by the way. And schools don't necessarily like to advertise this, but there are mechanisms for this being reported and incidents. There are surveys that are done annually by the Association of Campus Counseling Center Directors. So people do have a very good handle on this and a good handle on the rates of change of these kinds of incidents.
And the violent interacting is not the kind of violence you would expect in a college. In a college, I would expect you have two young males and one female, so the males are going to compete with each other for the female. That's what nature gave us, right? And the violence would be more directed towards each other, but that's not the nature of what's happening.
No, this is stalking, one's date who rejected you because you simply can't tolerate rejection. Your ego is so fragile that it shatters it. And I have to say that part of the narcissism is created by the parents, because what they really want for their kids is they really want their kids to enjoy the same success that they are enjoying. They're eager for their children to have the same socioeconomic status. They're not even willing to tolerate that their kids might want different things out of life than they have. So there's this very early implanting of the idea that you have to be as successful as we are because it's a reflection on us.
Now, this age group is, you're saying that most of the people who have...
This is a new phenomenon.
New
phenomenon, so that we're talking 16, about...
17-year-olds now.
And 25-year-olds, I would say, is sort of the leading edge of the older kids, 25, 26, 27. But this is not necessarily applying to older cohorts.
I've heard some employers referring to how they refuse to go with what they call the spoiled brats. You were going to say something about that.
Well, what's really interesting about the employers is that right now, human resources departments in major companies find themselves expanding as a way to manage these people. These people require excess management, and they don't know how to handle themselves. And one little example is that parents are going with these kids on job interviews. Can you imagine that? Would you ever hire a 22-year-old who came into your office to be interviewed with mom or dad in tow? I mean, it's just ludicrous and laughable. And parents are not only showing up. I mean, it's bad enough the kids want them. I think it's horrendous on the part of the parents to do it, when the parents could simply teach their kids and transfer the information to their kids on how to negotiate a job.
This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're here with you today for 2 hours, and we're here because we are bringing you some concepts that you may not have entertained and some thoughts that I think would be useful for you, as this Positive Mind radio program has done for many years, 30 years. With you, archives available for free, not archives we sell, on the website thepositivemind.com, distributed all over the world. I hear from countries and cities that are telling us that it's made a major difference in their life, influences. Because of the work that you've done, you've encouraged, you've sponsored, I may be the vehicle, but I do it with a support staff that's just absolutely beautiful, and we've been able to make a difference in this world. That's a wonderful feeling, making a difference in this world. WBAI makes a difference in this world. And WBAI is somehow X-ing itself or getting X'd out of the picture. Somehow we can't keep ahead of the game as we always did. We have in the past. For many years, for over 50 years, we've been able to get everything to work. Now, suddenly, it's almost impossible. I don't know what's making it so impossible, but we can't even meet salaries at times. And this is pretty dismal for a lot of those beautiful people who work there. Even now, we're still behind in the bills. This fund drive has to be successful. Here's what I'll give you. If you would donate to the station $200, you will get a chance to meet with me personally or talk to me on the phone about anything you want to talk about. And so far, I haven't run into a subject I know nothing about. So this is a thing we don't think of. We don't think of the peace in the middle. What do we do during a consultation? You come to me, present me with some issue. I will find you the pieces in the middle. I will find you that angle to look at. I will find you that something to do. 212-757-4488 is our number here. 212-757-4488. We're taking the calls right here as opposed to at a call center, because I believe I have my people who are standing by ready to answer the phones. And if we're going to make these donations possible, and we're going to make this happen, I want to have the people who are answering the phone who can take your calls, and they know all about our system. 212-757-4488. That's the office of that's the number of my office. And it is our people who are standing by. You'll hear Jamie Ross. You'll hear Marty Resnick. You'll hear Teresa Palmer. A number of people who will be answering these calls. Lisa Arnone. We'll be taking these calls just to help you out and to get this through. 212-757-4488. Now, for this, you get a number of things. You'll get a one-time meeting with me. You will get a surprise choice of book. We have a thing. We have a library full of books that were donated to me, given to me by people who want to get on the air, you know, and they give us books and we look through them. Some people get on the air, some don't. We have those books available like a library. You could pick a book. So you'll take a choice of your own book. They're out in the waiting room. You'll take a choice. You'll have that book as well. That's a little bonus. An additional bonus is going to be when you come in, I'm going to give you a copy of a CD of music that I'm going to create for you. I'm going to put together something. It'll be either jazz or a combination of things. But you're going to hear some music. And you know me and my music. So we've got a number of things being offered. $200 you get, but the main thing you're going to get is a consultation with me and then goodies when you walk in the door. 212-757-4488. Now let me talk to the people who have donated in the past. We did a fund drive a couple of months ago, and a couple of months ago we offered some CDs. We offered Hate, the one about hatred, the feeling of hatred, and we offered Human Sexuality, two different CD sets. As far as the consultation goes, that's a real easy one because I could deliver that right here. So if you have not had the consultation call, we thought we called everybody and offered them a consultation, but if you haven't gotten it from a previous call, call our office now, 212-757-4488. Say, I donated during the last fund drive. We'll find your name and we'll give you an appointment right away. 212-757-4488. We are going to offer an additional premium today. This one is called Emotional Fragility. I'm going to put together three CDs. for a donation of $100. There might be a nice gift for you to give to people. 212-757-4488. The three CDs called Emotional Fragility, which you get right here. 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. You can make a donation with MasterCard, Visa, American Express. 212-757-4488. We're right here on West 57th Street in Manhattan. A $200 donation gets you a one-time consultation with me. Actually, I meet with an awful lot of people. The money goes to WBAI, and WBAI needs this money at this time, so I offer them my time. So in a way, you know, this is what I do. I offer my time to WBAI, and I offer my time to you. A consultation, a meeting. Talk about whatever we need to talk about. Let's cover some of those issues, especially issues that you might be confused about regarding your family or about parenting. There are perceptions. There are things that you probably can't see because you're looking in a mirror with the same eyes that are looking in the mirror. And sometimes you need someone on the outside who you could feel has no interest but your own interest at heart. 212-757-4488. Make a donation to the station, $200. We need your money right now. We need to be able to get our bills covered as usual, and we're back in that spot, that dire spot. 212-757-4488. Over the last few months, I've met with some of the people at WBAI, and I'm meeting more and more of the remarkable broadcasters who I find just amazing, and I'm so proud of the work that they do. 212-757-4488. Go to your phones right now, my friends. This is a really good time because we have people standing by. My own office staff is standing by. You'll talk to Jamie Ross. You'll talk to Teresa Palmer. You talk to Marty Resnick. They're all there to answer the phones, to take your calls. 212-757-4488. This is a good time to do it. If you haven't already donated to the station, of course, this is a must. But if you have, and you could do this week, you could spare a little more than you did last week, even if it's $10, $20, $30, please feel free to do it. You know, a big donation, we received a really big one a couple of weeks ago. A huge amount of money was sent in by someone who said they could spare it, and they love this station, and they want to keep the station going. 212-757-4488. We haven't been able to broadcast on our regular schedule, taking callers like we usually do because the station is still reorganizing itself, phone lines getting set up, so we're doing broadcasting from different locations. This broadcast today we are doing from a different location just to be able to get you to participate in what we're doing. 212-757-4488 is the number I keep going to you. Please go to your phones right now, my friends. I'm going to give you a little offering of music, and when we get back, we'll continue with some programming. 212-757-4488. You're listening to the music of Bob Brosman, the late Bob Brosman. He died just recently, and he was a musical genius. He's somebody who traveled the globe and picked music from different places. I've always followed him. He's always touched me in some way. This is one of his most remarkable pieces. I wanted to present it to you while you listen to this and you go to your phones and make your donations. Here's something special.
This is a good time to go to your phones. 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488.
212-757-4488.
This is Julian Joiello, and I'm here because we care about WBAI. Call now with a donation for $200 and get a consultation with Armand. It's a one-time meeting where you can come here and talk about anything you need and meet him in person or talk by the phone, and you can send an email preliminarily so you can figure out what you want to talk about and prepare yourself for this meeting because it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And along with that, you can donate $100 and get a 3-CD set about emotional fragility, which is going to be handpicked by us and put together just for you guys with the really good stuff, you know? And we're asking for your help right now because WBAI, as you know, is listener-supported and unique. They have no ads other than just helping support the station because we're supported by you, solely by you listeners, who are generous and caring and have always been helpful in the past, and we need that to continue in order to survive. And there's no other station like WBAI right now. Probably in the future, it'll stay this way, and we need to be there in the future. We need to be there to make sure that the right information is passed along to you. So for a $200 donation, you get the consultation with Armand, which is just once in a lifetime. It's something that you don't get this anywhere else. This is not some therapist, some random person, some person you're just meeting with because you've got this problem. You're meeting with him because you've listened to him and you know him and you know each other and he's going to talk to you. It's going to change your life, and it's just, this is your chance to really do something for yourself. So $200 donation, and you'll get that as a thank you gift. And also along with your consultation, you'll get a free book from the library here, which is tons of just interesting stuff. And then also there'll be a CD, Handpicked Music, by Armand on this CD. And that'll be right for you. So for $200, you get all this stuff. And it's a great deal on top of just it being a priceless once-in-a-lifetime thing. So, you call now, 212-757-4488, 212-757-4488. Now, that number is the office here on 57th Street, and you'll be talking to Jamie, you'll be talking to Lisa, Marty, and they'll be answering your calls, so we don't have to use a call center because it's just a little too complicated and a little too messy with that. We want to take it on our own hands. So we're going to hear you hopefully soon calling right now, 212-757-4488. And those are two premiums, the $200 consultation and the $100 3-CD set about emotional literacy. And there's just some really interesting stuff on there. We're going to be going through a whole category of dozens of shows, actually, and really pick out the best stuff for you guys and put them onto 3 CDs. Just jam-pack it in there for you to take home and just hear some dense, great, quality stuff in your home. And with that, by donating those $100, you're helping WBAI reach their goal and get to a place that they need to be. Because we need to be here in the future. We do. And the only way that's going to happen is with your help. So call now, 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488. This is The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille on WBAI 99.5 FM.
We're here with Hara Marano. We're talking about people growing up and the way people are growing up here in the city and all over the world, and they're growing up in these protected environments and what's happened to people. And what's happening is, I think you told a story about somebody you ran into on an airplane.
I found myself sitting next to a senior vice president from one of the major investment banking houses. And she said, oh, that's very interesting. She said, I'm not a parent myself, but I come in contact with these kids all the time because I hire them. And she said, I will no longer hire any of the fancy kids. That was her term.
Fancy kids.
The fancy kids. She said, I will hire now only the children of the first generation immigrants, because these kids had no one running interference for them. They had to learn how to problem solve. They had to learn how to be resourceful. And these are the kids I want to hire. And I do think that we are going to be saved by the second tier. I think we're going to be saved by the kids who have already been written off as not going down the straight and narrow path and complying with absolutely everything that the adults want.
There's another thing I've seen, too, which probably relates to this, Hara, in some of the schools that I've visited, which is where the second tier, and not even the second tier, not the ones, but the ones from the other classes who even haven't been a part of this, use their aggression, their direct aggression, as a way of intimidating these first-tier children, these privileged children, the compliant children. They get scared very easily by any physical threat, so much so that it just doesn't fit anywhere in their system. So you have this division. You now have people saying, I know how to scare you, and I know how to scare you out of your way. And again, it's like you're not prepared for any violence, true violence. You're not prepared for anything coming in your direction.
That's true. They don't know how to handle it.
Buy insurance, get a lawyer. That's what their idea.
Well, that's one of the consequences of this kind of a society. You don't know how to solve problems. I don't want to endorse aggressive threats. I don't necessarily feel that that's a way to solve problems. I think that's a mark of inability to solve problems. But I do think they are a reality of life, and I do think people have to be, in a way, prepared to defuse them and to handle them. But yes, I think that there is a way in which these kids can probably be easily bullied.
And bullied is your...
They're being bullied by their parents, to be very honest with you. That's what bullying is. It's using power to control people. And here's the interesting thing about what's going on. Parents, like lovers, must always sort of negotiate this fine line between nurturing and controlling. And I think what's going on now is that the parents have stepped way over the line into controlling. And that's what their anxiety has done to them. So they've kind of lost sight of what the goal of parenting is, which is to ultimately produce an independent human being. You don't produce an independent human being by controlling and constantly controlling and over-controlling your children. You have to give your kids some leash.
Our guest, Hara Marano, why are parents doing this to the kids? Why? What happened? I mean, my parents, they said, get out there and see, jump out of the boat and see if you could swim.
Which is not such a bad idea. Why are parents doing this? Because they love their kids. and they want them to succeed. But they know that the world has changed on their watch. And none of us knows what the world's going to look like in 10 years. And they're worried that their kid will somehow uniquely be left behind. So they push their kids to achieve in school, on the soccer field. They push them to achieve. If the kid is in a sport, they get coaches. There are no kids playing sports just for the hell of it. There are kids. Everything has to be taken with a great degree of seriousness so that the kid could achieve and become a star.
Stardom is not, pardon me, Harriet,
but
you're not a star in a sport because you like the challenge. You're a star in a sport because you want to be a star?
Maybe not necessarily because you want to be a star, but because your parents want you to be a star.
Ouch.
And they want you to play on the travel team, and your dad may be out tossing balls at you at midnight. I mean, what goes on is just ridiculous. I'm sure you've seen many, many, many articles. The Times has been great in covering this, of young kids, 8 and 9 year old, with the kinds of sports injuries that are seen only in major league players at the ends of their careers after years and years of intense playing in a single position. These kids are specializing at an age when young bodies really need to be generalizing and giving all parts of the body a workout. And young cartilage, young bones can't support the intense kinds of practice and play that parents are subjecting their kids to on the way to creating portfolios of excellence.
You know, I was watching some of the gymnastics parents who are just brutal with their kids. The kids are not allowed anything other than gymnastics, and it's for the image, it's for the success, it's for the winning, and it's for the parents. Now, you say the parents are well-intended. And,
yes, they are. They love their kids.
Yeah, well, I could say love, but I would say they love themselves. And they love themselves through their children. And I know you're being very friendly towards and very kind towards the parents, and we're not really blaming them because they're kind of lost kids themselves.
Right.
But, you know, if you were to ask that very question, is the role of parenthood to prepare your child to leave you and be independent and independent in their functioning? Is the role of your child rearing to have your child leave you for 6 months and not necessarily call you, but just go off to Europe and have a good time? Do you know, every parent would say, God forbid. I mean, most parents would say, oh, no, I can't let them go.
Yes, I think that, you know, I'm a parent. I think that anxiety and parenting have gone together from the beginning of time. But there's a real difference now in that one of the things anxiety does is it narrows your vision. So it's created in parents. It's forced parents to forget that the goal of raising kids is to produce an independent and autonomous adult. So parents are sacrificing the developmental needs of the kids for their own psychological needs because they want the kids to kind of replicate their own success. They want the kids to achieve because it reflects well on the parents. I mean, we all know that among most middle class and above parents, there's enormous amount of talk about where their kids go to college. And it's a parent's final grade as a parent as to where their kid goes to college. And if your kid goes to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton, you automatically get a passing grade as a parent. That's just ludicrous. And those kids don't necessarily do any better than any other kids.
But those are the parents, I think, the ones who are doing this and the ones who are resulting in the title of your book, The Nation of Wimps, A Nation of Wimps, that's, I think, the illness. I don't think it's just good intention. I think it's the illness of vacuous parents. I mean, when these people come in to see me with their child who's having a breakdown, I work on the parents' unfelt needs. I mean, as a therapist, what I do is look at the parents and say, why is your life so empty? It's almost like they're addicts, you know? It's almost like they're addicted to their children's success and achievement and have no life of their own.
Well, that's part of what's driving this too, but I do want to say that what happens is the anxiety of the parents puts them in a position to clear the path for their kids and pick up after them. So their kids literally have no coping skills. They don't learn how to cope with failure. If a kid leaves a paper at home, a parent will drive it over to school for them or take a bus across town to deliver the paper to the child. Instead of the child understanding, feeling how much this is an adverse experience and using that as a way to remind themselves to bring the paper or to bring the book to school the next time. That's how we learn.
Okay, so you're a parent and your child forgets his trumpet.
Right.
And he's supposed to go to a music lesson that day, and he forgets his trumpet and he doesn't bring it. And now you're at home and you have the trumpet and your kid calls and says, "Ma, I forgot my trumpet." As a parent who really cares about the child learning, what do? You don't lie to the child and say, "I don't know where it is."
No, you say, "Look, I'm sorry that you forgot it. It isn't the end of the world. What do you need for you to remember to bring it the next time? How do you need to organize your life? Not what do you need me to do to remind you, but what do you need to do to remember to take it with you the next time?"
Well, just bring me my trumpet now and I'll remember the next time.
No, you need to let the child feel some of the discomfort.
So what are you going to say to your parent? What are you going to say to your child? Come on, you're the parent and you want him to be safe.
You simply say, what do you need to make it come out the way you want the next time?
That's
what we all have to learn.
And so your child says to you, Ma, I got to have my trumpet. I don't have a car. Bring me my trumpet.
And you simply say, I'm sorry. It's not the end of the world. The next time you'll have your trumpet with you.
And you say, no, I won't bring it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You say no.
But you explain why. I don't think parents need to be harsh or mean or punitive over it. Forgetting a trumpet is not the end of the world.
And, it's at that point that the children, the parents get so worried, because now at this point, so the parents, if they were to try to say, we are being too protective and we want to try to back off a little bit. It's going to be very confusing to their children if they're doing it midstream.
No, I don't think so.
No,
because I think we all correct course in life all the time, or I certainly hope we all do, because every day we're all taking in more information. And I see no reason why a parent can't sit down with a kid and say, hey, we've been doing things this way for a while, and I've had time to think about this, and I'm not so sure it's the best thing for you or for me. So I think we're going to do things differently. And you literally lay out what you're going to do differently. And I think that this is an extremely valuable lesson for kids, because they learn that you can change course and be thoughtful and analytical about everything that you're doing currently and improve when you have the information or see the need to do something differently.
What are the other things that children can do for their kids? Letting them play. What about that?
I want to get to that, but I want to go back to something that you talked about before, about parents having empty lives. I think one of the things parents are doing is they want to make their kids happy, but they have no clue that the way to happiness is not to have things. It's not to have things done for you. It's to face difficulties and face challenges and to plan and to plan goals and to work hard to meet those goals. That is when human beings are happiest, when they're on that last final sprint towards meeting a challenge. And a challenge, by definition, involves uncertainty. You have to muster all of your resources to meet a goal. You don't necessarily know whether you can achieve it. It's not completely out of your range, but you do have to marshal your resources to try to do it. And achieving a goal under those circumstances is the key to happiness for all people all the time. That's when human beings are most happy, most in a positive state of mind. And we're talking about the positive mind. Yeah. Now to go back to the question.
Play. children
play. I mean, I think if there's one thing that parents can do for their kids, the single most important thing that parents can do for their kids is to let their kids play. And by the way, I do want to say that I have a lot of suggestions for parents, and one of them is to let their kids play. And when I say let kids play, I mean let kids play freely. No adult supervision, no monitoring, no adults managing. Because when kids play and adults enter the scene, kids turn over the management of the situation to the adults. So it's really very important that kids have totally unstructured time for exploration and free play.
And what about play dates? I mean, this whole...
I want to explain why play is so important.
Yes, please.
Play actually builds the human brain. Parents think that play is has no purpose. It's not goal-directed, and adults are goal-directed. So they think it's a waste of time. But play turns out to be critical neurologically for kids and for adults, I might add. And that's the great hidden secret of play. It stimulates genes for nerve growth in the executive portion of the brain. So what you have is play fostering the development of the very centers of the brain that actually allow kids to eventually pay attention in school and to exert control over their own emotions and to regulate their own behavior.
What about the play dates? What about the
play dates? Well,
you know,
I mean,
we
it's
didn't
a,
have
an
example.
I know, and it's partly a reflection of how complex our schedules have become, and how kids have become subjected to adult values. But play dates can be definitely overdone. I think there needs to be time for kids just to gather freely on their own agenda without things being set up by adults, so kids can congregate with whom they want and learn how to play with all kinds of other kids.
And meeting new, like hanging out on the corner used to be a
very
wonderful
important
thing. Yeah.
And, I happen to think that the playground is an absolutely essential place for democracy, because you have to learn to play with whoever is there. Kids come in, they leave, they come and go. Makes great demands on social skills, and it breeds social skills. That's why I think it's very important that kids be able to play freely in the playground. And it's really important that adults understand that play does not reflect adult values, and therefore they need to think differently about it.
Eating dinner together. Nowadays, most children are watching television, eating at snack tables.
Or they're eating in the SUV with one parent, taking a kid for practice on one thing while another parent is taking another one of the kids to some other activity.
What do you recommend?
I think that the evidence is incontrovertible. Eating dinner together at least 5 nights a week is the greatest guarantee of success that you can give your kids. And it predicts both adjustment and school performance among both affluent and poor kids. It's absolutely critical.
How about learning how to praise your kid and what for? Because I think I read one of your articles about this on air. About praise, about the nature of praise.
Yeah, I mean, parents who criticize or praise their kids the wrong way wind up creating perfectionism in their kids or humiliating their kids. So, very often you'll hear parents tell kids, second best isn't good enough. A kid gets a B plus or an A minus, and a parent will say second best isn't good enough. And that is an automatic ticket to depression. It's a one-way ticket to a life of misery for a child. That child will think that failure is the end of the earth, never learn from failure, and spend a life of miserable anxiety focused on avoiding failure, not enjoying success.
How do you teach children to tolerate discomfort?
You don't pick up after them. You don't run their trumpet over to school. And you say, it doesn't feel so good, does it? You can empathize with them, but you simply don't have to jump in and rescue them. We're not talking about things with life and death consequences here.
You should know that these items are all covered in the book, A Nation of Wimps. Go all the way and help your kids fail.
Yeah, right.
What about that?
Well, I do think that parents should let their kids know that they don't fall apart when they fail and that they can pick themselves up, dust themselves off, after their ego is bruised a little bit. If you don't allow someone to fail when they're 8 years old, they will completely fall apart when they encounter anything less than total success later on. And it's very important to know that you can manage life's ups and downs without falling apart.
Give your kids increasing responsibility for managing their own lives.
Yeah.
Get them to do their own laundry.
Yeah, get them to do their own laundry.
Wash your own underwear, kid.
Right. It's not somehow a mark against you. So they'll learn how to do it, and it doesn't become a distraction by the time they get to college. They'll have it figured out.
Take your own brains back, get out of the panic
mode,
and switch to rational
mode. Yeah, this is, this relates to something you were talking about before. I think the parents demand a lot out of their own relationships, and very often when they're dissatisfied in their own adult relationships, they're looking for more nourishment from their children. And I think it's a mistake to put that burden of emotional responsibility on their children. I think parents need to get out. They need to socialize more with their own friends and to reclaim their own marital or whatever adult relationship they have.
The guest, Hara. Estroff, Morano, Hara, please, whenever you want, come on back. We could talk for hours. A Nation of Wimps, the name of the book. My special thanks to you for being here.
My name is Lisa Van Gundy, and I am a volunteer. I would like to encourage you to donate to WBAI. The Positive Mind is your university of the human spirit. Also on WBAI, you hear Democracy Now! Amy Goodman could be the most important newscaster today. Call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Every cent makes a difference. If you can give $10 or $1,000, you can become part of this important team. 212-757-4488. Again, 212-757-4488. For a $200 donation, you get a meeting with Armand, plus a choice of book from our library, plus a bonus music CD. Any donation is acceptable. Please call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Courage is the essence of WBAI. This is Lisa Van Gundy. Thank you.
And hello, everybody. This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind, WBAI 99.5 FM, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more parenting life. Well, you know, one of the things that help us not be so frightened in life is family. I ran into something else, another part of parenting. Another part where it's essential, you know, it's essential, my friends. Whether you ever have a child or not, you must become a guiding adult. Helping the children who walk around kind of blind-eyed, you know, getting scared and doing scared things. Somebody has to have a sobering mentality. And in the family, who is that person who usually has that sobering sense? Who usually is the real solid force? Is it your mommy? Is it your daddy? Well, you know, you're a kid and you hang around with your mommy and daddy and you see them scared often enough and you watch them fighting sometimes and you watch them at odds and not so much rested. So they're not really the source of being solid. But there are people, if you're lucky, grandparents. Yes, grandparents. Grandparenting is one of the greatest joys of life. And grandchildrening. Childrening? Being a grandchild is one of the great joys of life if you've got loving grandparents. I know what it's like not to have loving grandparents. I know what it's like to have grandparents that are not loving, and that's a really rough stuff. Some people have grandparents they hate, and some people have grandparents they love. Sometimes you love one of your grandparents, and you hate their husbands or wives. Sometimes you love your mother's grandparents, but you hate your father's grandparents. I'm sorry, not grandparents, parents. So things are changing, and things are really changing. There's a new thing called grand boomers. Grand boomers, get that word, grandboomers. These are people who are born between 1946 and 1964, are now grandparents. Many of them, 46 to 64, have become grandparents, right? I mean, even if you're born at 61, you know, you could have a child who's 20 years old at age 81, and then she has a kid, and you're a grandparent. That's it. That's all there is to it. But the grand boomers of today are young, active, and eager to be involved in the lives of their grandchildren. Because remember, I mean, life used to be 60, 65 years. Grandpa were the people you would meet on their way for their walk out to the ice, you know, where they were going to kind of end it. But no, not anymore. Grandparents are the ones wearing those funny shorts who are carrying the tennis racket, you know, who are retired but on their way to the tennis play. I mean, they got plenty of time because maybe they're retired and they quit their jobs and something. And they have time. They are willing to be involved. And they are healthier. So grandparents have become a real strong force. I mean, just look at ARP, AARP, which is the Organization for People Over 50 Years Old, is such a powerful organization that they can determine a vote to go one way or another, you know, so the politicians are always kind of trying to appeal to ARP. Grandparenting in the 21st century is also complicated. It's complicated by long distances. Because now, even though you can have communication with your grandparents, they could be in some other part of the planet. You know what I mean? They could be in France, and you could talk to them every day. But long distances is one way. More people travel more often, and more grandparents are at long distances. Because if you were from, let's say you're from Oregon, and you decided to come to New York, and you have your children in New York, the grandparents are still in Oregon. So they're not that available. Long distances, there are new child-rearing practices. There are the way that people are learning to raise their children. They try one thing or another that may or may not include the grandparents. There are family breakups, divorces. 50% of the people are divorcing, so therefore, almost every child nowadays has at least six grandparents, three sets, right? You have your mothers, your fathers, and then you have your step-parents, right? Those are still grandparents. And remarriages. So now you can have your steps, and then you can have even more, and you can have a lot of grandparents. You have your real grandparents and your not real grandparents. What was your relationship with your grandparents? I'm not going to talk to you about your relationship as a grandparent because every one of you are going to tell me about the bliss of it. You're probably going to show me photographs. So I'm not talking about that, but grandmas and grandpas. You know, one of the beauty of being a grandparent, here's the real, real beauty of being a grandparent. You get a chance to choose your name. You get a chance to choose how you would like to be called. Some people want to be called Gramps, some want to be called Grandma, some want to be called Grandpa. Poppy is a nice way that you could be called. Nana, Nana, Nunu. What do you want to be called, you know? Because if you get that name that you like, you choose it, you know, as a grandparent. You kind of pass it on, and you get called that. And it's fascinating to be called by your new name. But of all the things you're being called, probably the best call you could get is when somebody calls the center and donates money for WBAI. Yes, my friends, that's what we're doing here today. We're examining family and family relationships, but we're also looking for you to help support this station. Telephone number here is 212-757-4488. We are here to help. We are bringing you programming about parenting in all of its forms, but you are the parents. You are the parents of WBAI. You're the ones who support us. We need your help. 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488. I sit here with a family of people who support the station, including Julian, Teresa, Marty Resnick, and all the other folks who work here. Just it's a wonderful group of people. When you call right now, 212-757-4488, one of those people will answer the phone. And they'll be taking your pledge. Now, you can do a pledge on any one of two different levels, or many levels, actually. You can do a pledge on any level because we need your support. So anything you give, $1, $100, $1,000, would be gratefully accepted. 212-757-4488. Make your calls right now, my friends. Represent your neighborhood. You know, if you're from the Bronx and you're one of our Bronx folks, 212-757-4488. Staten Island. I know many of you out there in Staten Island who listen regularly to The Positive Mind and WBAI, 212-757-4488. Port Chester, West Chester, East Chester, Manchester, 212-757, Chester, 212-757-4488. Represent your area code. 212-757-4488. Go to your phones right now. $200 donation. You get this opportunity to meet with me. Let's talk about you. You will meet with me personally. I will sit there with you, and we will get a chance to talk about just about anything you'd like to talk about. But mainly, let me help you sort out some of the details. Everybody has some little place to get stuck in life. And sometimes you just need somebody on the outside to help you take a look. And that's what I'm offering. For a $200 donation to WBAI, I will make myself available to you for a period of time. You call. Now, when you call the office and you make the donation, we will take your phone number and very shortly call you right back and make the appointment. We'll be seeing you within 2 or 3 weeks. 212-757-4488. An additional premium we offered is for $100. We have a couple of CDs that we're offering, which we've described. And it's about emotional fragility, 212-757-4488. So if you wanted the CDs, you could get that. But mainly, show your support. It's not for what you're getting back. Because all of what we do, including what I'm doing right now, is not for what the return is. The return is itself beautiful. The fact that you are part of this, the fact that you're in this world listening to this program. And if you're offered a distance somewhere, as many of you are, if you're listening to this program on reruns and you're in Thailand, send us an email. Make a donation to the station. You can go to WBAI.org. Go to WBAI.org and press the donate button. You could also do that by going to just WBAI.org. Press the donate button and make a donation to the station wherever you are. Make it in the name of the Positive Mind. 212-757-4488, my friends. That's 212-757-4488. Around this globe, there's a Positive Mind club in Paris that I know about, one in Italy that I know about. You folks who gather together around this idea of having a more positively minded life, It's not admiration of the Positive Mind radio program. It's the collective. It's you people getting together with each other. Well, honor that vehicle, the ability to be able to get together with other people of the same kind. 212-757-4488. One day we'll have a huge party of just positively minded people, which I've done, actually. And these are not just people with smiles on their face. A positive mind is somebody who's brave enough to feel what they feel when they feel it, and to have an attitude of non-judgmentalism. That's the whole secret behind it. The whole secret behind having a positive mind is you don't feel bad about anybody. I mean, you might feel a little bad about them, but you're not judging them. You're not critical of them. And it takes a lot to be able to get to the place in life where you don't feel like you have to be critical of the people around you. 212-757-4488. Go to your phones right now. If you find yourself jealous, angry, and filled with feelings that you don't like, let's take a look at it. Let's see why it's stuck in there. Sometimes people hold on to attitudes just because it's their only way of holding on to their family. Like, did you ever say to yourself, I hope I never become like my father? And then you grow up being just like your father? How come? Very often that happens because it's your only way of holding on to your father. It's the only way that you could be connected to him in some way. You become him, or just like your mother. You know, you become them. You echo their voice, and you become who they are. So sometimes it just takes a little disconnect. If you don't want to be that kind of a person, let's go inside. Let's go through your mind. Let's find out what it is about your relationship with your parent that's so fragile that you're afraid that if you don't become them, you won't have them any longer. Then let's find some positive way of connecting them to your heart, and let's disconnect the negativity button. That's the science of what I do. That's what this is about, if you want to do that. If you don't want to do it, you just want to talk about music, that's fine by me. 212-757-4488, my friends. 212-757-4488. From being a regular person, you wake up and you feel dismal and dark and you can't get out of your way. Very often, the reason you feel that way is because you're holding back some other feelings. Like, people who are angry frequently get depressed. If you're not comfortable with being angry, then depression sometimes takes its place. Depression is always the result of an anger that's turned against the self. One of the reasons that people come to see me is we help sort out what it is that you're really angry about, help you direct that feeling, not against the person, but to know that it goes outside of you, lift the burden of the hand that's beating the little child inside of you, and the depression lifts. We could do it just by looking at it. 212-757-4488. So there are many different ways, and the skill of psychotherapy and the skill of psychology is understanding all these different ways that people do things to themselves to adjust, to adapt, to get through life. Jealousy. What is jealousy all about? What is all that rage about? Where is that really coming from? Very often you could find that comes from some level of insecurity. You expose the insecurity, the jealousy goes away. You know, or even attitudes towards authorities. If you can't keep a job, we take a look and we find out that your relationship with your father probably was one that was highly questionable. You didn't feel nurtured by him in some ways. So you always feel antagonistic towards him. And he manifests in all the authorities in the world, including every policeman, every boss. And you just can't stand it. And you say, I can't stand taking orders. Well, you've got to be able to take orders in life, because if you have somebody who's paying a check, let them tell you what to do. So what? Just because they tell you what to do, it doesn't mean you sell your soul or you become less of a person. But if you've got trouble with authorities, then you're going to be not be able to keep a job, and you're not going to be very successful. 212-757-4488. Fear is another big factor. There are many people who have a tremendous amount of fear. And the fear sometimes is a result of a chemical imbalance, believe it or not. It could be an overactive amygdala, or if you can't sleep. Let's take a look. We have different ways of testing out the different things that might be going on for you, so that wherever you shudder, wherever you have this one uncomfortable feeling, we could take a look inside and see if we could get a little head on it. You know, if we could just get somewhere to make a dent in it. Your relationships. How about your love relationships? How about you're bored by your husband or your wife? How about things have changed? How about you once depended on them? How about you lose your friendship with your mate? You can use this consultation to come in with your mate. You come in and I will do something for you. In fact, if you do it as a couple, I would recommend this to just about everybody who makes an appointment to see me. Go to the EnneagramInstitute.com, EnneagramInstitute.com, and take the Enneagram test. Send me the results. I will interpret them. They usually are expensive to interpret. I'll do it all as part of your consultation. It'll be free to you. 212-757-4488. Take the Enneagram test, the $10 one that you pay for. Send me the results. In advance, if I'm going to see you personally, what I would like you to do, in addition, is to send me an email about what you want to discuss so that by the time we get together, we could use our time preciously focusing on exactly what you want. 212-757-4488. People are standing by right now. You can go to your phones. Are you a new grandparent? Are you a grandparent who are at odds with your daughter-in-law? There's another important one. That one happens frequently. You know, grandmothers and their daughter-in-laws, and they seem to be at odds. It's as if the grandparents own the child and not the mother, or the mother feels threatened by the grandmother. What's going on? Why does that make that happen? 212-757-4488. Another common problem, lying. People lie to you. And you say, the worst thing I can't stand being deceived. I hate being deceived. Well, you know, the reason that most people get lied to is because they scare people and they don't want people to tell them the truth. So if you threaten somebody, if you say to somebody, do I look fat? And you know if they say yes, that you're going to turn off to them and get angry at them, they're going to say no. So very often people who are deceived in life are people who are asking people to lie to them. Let's find out what it is that you do that encourages deception. And this way you don't have to become a victim to it. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I have been doing this art form for many, many years. I have training in many institutions. I have credentials all over the walls. And I've also been somebody who's been through life. I'm intuitive. I sense things. 212-757-4488. It'd be an honor to sit with you and help you sort through stuff. It's an honor. It's my pleasure. I enjoy every bit of this, and I look forward to meeting with you.
Marty Resnick, I ask you to join me by making a supportive donation to the station. 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488.
Very little attention goes to grandparents. But in today's world, grandparents are living much longer, really, really much longer. And therefore, you know, what happens is a child becomes involved in the illness of the grandparents. Because now they're at a certain age, but then at the age when they start to break down, when they start to fall into illnesses, and there might even be mental illnesses. I mean, if a grandparent at age 80, get you, might have dementia. Now, bad enough that you have to suffer through, a mate has to suffer through their husband or wife having senile dementia or having Alzheimer's. And then suddenly the children have to be guarded from the grandparent because the grandparent does weird things. And I'm not saying weird sexual things, but then there is that other part. There is that other part about grandparents who are abusive grandparents. Another relationship. Then if you get a family, you get a husband and a wife who are at odds with each other, then the grandparents get involved. But remember, grandparents are in-laws. And you know all the people who talk about hating their in-laws because the in-laws come in and they get involved in the family? Like you have your in-laws, you know, you're married to somebody or living with somebody, and their husband or wife starts getting involved in your life, you know, or their parents start getting involved in your life, and they start telling you how to do things. Those are the in-laws. They're kind of dreaded because they sometimes make this influence. Now, in-laws who are perceived as in-laws, which are meaning your parents, you know, and they're on your side, so it's you and your parents against me, is the way many mates feel. The in-laws become terrible grandparents because when they get in the relationship, they become decisive and derisive very often. And divisive. They divide. And derisive is derisive means ridicule or scorn. And they can sometimes talk badly about the parent who is not their child to the child. They will even tell secrets. You know, don't tell your father I told you, but I learned that when he was a little boy, he used to pee in his pants. You know, little things meant to separate the child from their fathers. Then, on the other hand, there are grandfathers who have, as a person gets older, you know, as men get older and women get older, their ears, their tympanic membrane gets thinner, and noise hurts them more. You've heard them, what kind of music is that? Right? Because they're saying that music is so loud, turn down the music. It means that their ears are getting more sensitive. Right? It's a real sign of maturity. So a person's ears gets very sensitive. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like, but if you take a grandchild and the grandchild comes to visit and it's a terrible two. You know, a two-year-old child, and if they come with their brothers, sisters, or with their friends, and they're at the grandparents' house, they make noise. Children scream. Children need to scream, especially around a pool. You know, they get around water, they need to scream. The idea of the screaming of a child is the child is telling its parent what it sounds like so that if there were ever real trouble, the child can be identified by its parent, just like baby seals. You know, baby seals can be identified by a parent within a crowd of hundreds of thousands of seals. They'll know exactly where their kid is by the sound of the cry. Well, children scream because they're developing their vocal cords to have a distinctive voice so that if they're in trouble, their parents can find it, so they can't help screaming. So you get them in water especially, which is slightly dangerous stuff, right? Water, children could drown, and they scream like crazy. And those screams are meant to be high-pitched screams that go through the tympanic membrane of the grandparents because they want the grandparents to be there to save them. They want their parents to be there to save them. They're going to scream so loud. Marco Polo, and, you know, just the sound of it over and over again can get through to you. Well, some grandparents find any intrusion very difficult because they live in a world where they more and more isolate themselves from noise, from pressures, from sounds. And as you become older, you feel more fragile, so you close the walls all around you. Now along comes a grandchild, and the grandchild is screaming. Well, very often grandparents, grandfathers, this is particularly true of grandfathers, hate the noise. And what they do is they start disciplining the child in the name of proper behavior. And they discipline the parents. And the parents turn around to their children and say to their children, be quiet. You can't make noise in grandpa's house. Don't make so much noise. But they're babies, you see. And grandparents can't handle it. And grandparents then become the ogres. They're the guys who are going to make trouble because you make noise when all you're doing is screaming naturally. Many of you grew up that way. But grandparents could be a wonderful thing. Grandparents could be a wonderful thing in helping a child, helping a woman bring up her babies. Because let's say you're one of five babies or four babies or three babies, and you're one of three children, your mother got a lot of experience in bringing up babies. The kind of experience a mother needs, like how to bathe a baby. That's no easy trick, bathing a baby, you know, without drowning it. Not so easy. How to walk a baby. How to hold a baby. Well, you have no experience with it. You're a new mother. Your mom could show you how to do it. And if your mom shows you in the right loving kind of way, she teaches you and she lets you do it, and she does not give you the idea that she's a better mother than you'll ever be. Some mothers, however, compete with their children, and they give them the feeling that they will never know what they're doing, and that gets passed on to the kids. So think about your own experience as a grandparent. Think of your experience as a grandchild. Think about Nani and Noni, or whoever you had, Grampy and Grandpa, or Poppy, whatever you called them. Think about your grandparents, and I want you to call in. I want you to tell me grandparent stories. Now, you may not think that this is very interesting, but you're going to find fascinating stuff here, because it reveals a lot. For example, if you had a close relationship with your mother and not your father, you may be more closely related to your mother's grandparents. So let's just see how that works out. I'm focusing on grandparenting today, because we did grandfathers, we did grandmothers. You know, it's going to be my book or somebody else's book. Somebody please write a book on the psychology of grandparenting. There's very little written. Why is that? Why is it it's not an area of discovery? There's a couple of books out there, one called Intentional Grandparenting, which tells you how to do it right. But there is very little information out there. So grandparents, you know, are supposed to know how to be grandparents. But where are they going to learn how to be grandparents? What's the right thing? You know, does anybody say to a grandmother, listen, teach your kid how to bathe her baby, but get out of the way, don't hold the baby, and whatever you do, don't criticize her. Does anybody teach that to a grandmother? No. It's got to be there in the intention. But rules of grandparenting, do not talk to the baby and tell the baby secrets. Rules of grandparenting. Obvious stuff, but it would be great if there were a couple of books on the psychology of grandparenting that would help the grandparents and would help the parents in understanding the grandparents and the grandparents' needs to carry those photographs and to take those pictures. Grandparents nowadays have gone crazy with their cell phones that take photos. They can't resist it. They watch, you know, I mean, they have such a joy, more joy, I think, than the actual parent themselves, in watching their children grow up. I mean, they're watching this grandchild of theirs who has some characteristics of theirs, you know, genetically, and they delight in every split second. They go out with you, they play with you, they love every second of it. It's a great joy, especially if you think of yourself as a grandparent who's getting on in life, you know, and you're 60 years old and everything is kind of looking the same and the same and the same, and the best you do is buy a new house, get a new car. You know, but you and your husband are there just playing another golf game, and you're kind of bored. Then this baby comes along, and oh my gosh almighty, what an exciting thing that could be to a relatively empty life. So as you could see, mixed feelings about grandparents, because grandparents can sometimes be, it's for want of a better word, they could be evil. Yes, and I don't mean evil like, you know, they're possessed by the devil. But sometimes they are just so filled with so much junk that they just don't do any good in the world. And I find among those the religious ones that are about the worst. The ones who kind of call down the power of God or the Lord or Jehovah, or whatever you want to say, the ones who call down the power of the saints, and they say, you, and they talk about you as if you're damned, because they have God on their sides. Those saintly ones I've seen really, really do some incredible damage to children. Sometimes it's hard to get their voices out of your head, you know, and then that thing happens like Catherine's talking about. You grow up and you suddenly find yourself acting just like them. And you wonder how that happened. And it happened because when you were young, you internalized this thing, this power source. And it sits inside you. Yuck, it makes you feel terrible. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue.
You are listening This is Jamie Ross. What I really enjoy about the work I do with Armand is the difference it makes. And what we do with the Positive Mind through the Internet is touch the hearts and minds of people around the world. They are introduced to a different way of being, a way of understanding and a way of knowing, a way of loving. By your supporting the Positive Mind, you make a difference. Please call now at 212-757-4488 and make a donation. Support the station. Give heart to the listeners around the globe who are all part of the family. 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. For a $200 donation, you get a consultation with Armand DeMel. That's 212-757-4488. This is Jamie Ross.
Yo soy Angela Rivas y deseo hacer una donación a WBAI para ayudar el programa The Positive Mind with Armand DeMel. Este programa ayuda a personas alrededor del mundo. Yo sé que este programa se escucha en mi pueblo natal, en Moca, en la República Dominicana. Por favor, llame al 212-757-4488 y haga una donación. 212-757-4488. Demuestre su amor.
This is Armand DeMel with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. If you just tuned in, not only do we play pretty music here, but we are talking about pretty things and not so pretty things. We are talking about grandparents. We are talking about the good news and the bad news about grandparents, about what it was like to have grandparents. Now, as I said, I've known people who we've had to do exorcisms about grandparents. We've had to take on dealing with, you know, sometimes you talk about child abuse. And we could talk about child abuse and we could talk about parental child abuse. And we could talk about the effect that your mean daddy had on you. And he might have been physical, it might have been sexual, it might have been emotional, it might have been verbal, you know. It might have been all of that stuff. And so what I wind up having is that's one bit of psychotherapy we do. We try to unearth the past and try to deal with those emotions from the past. Or you might have had a wacky mother. You know, a wacky mother who has kind of abused you verbally or abused you sexually or abused you in some kind of way. We deal with that too. Or you might have had a wacky uncle. You know, sexual abuse from some family member is one of the most popular forms of sexual abuse. It's one of the things that happen the most. It's usually a family member of some sort who abuses the child, maybe not a direct parent. But then we talk about the grandparents. And in some cases, the grandparents and the misery of the grandparents has passed on to the children in such a way that when we do psychotherapy, we, the therapists, tend to overlook the grandparents. But they are a potent force. So I think that therapists would do well to explore the grandparents and the effect of all four grandparents, whether they are alive or dead. So I think one of the things we tend to neglect is dealing with the grandparents, both sets of your grandparents. Think about both sets of your grandparents, even if one was dead. Even if one had passed on, they become a phantom in your life. You know, Uncle Joe. And they'll talk about Uncle Joe, and they'll mean Grandpa Joe, and they'll talk about him as if he existed. You know, now here's the thing that happens to kids. Kids are going along, and everything is fine, and then suddenly your parents, one of your parents' parents die. So let's say your mother's father dies. And there goes mom's mom, and she's living alone in some house. And she says, what am I doing living in this big house all by myself? I'm not safe. I don't have anybody to protect me. So the parents say, sell the house and come live with us. And very often in a child's life, suddenly a child will see this new person appears who is a grieving grandmother. Now, when your mate dies and then you suddenly move into a house where there's a couple there, you are loaded with all kinds of stuff you're ready to transfer, and there's this innocent little baby in front of you. And very often the grandparent who's grieving passes on a lot of their anguish to the child who is there. And then, of course, the parents use the grandparent as a convenience. And they say, all right, you're here, so I'm going to go out. So the grandparent's sitting there, and they have a tremendous influence on the child's life. And if they're unhappy and depressed and grieving, that's what the kid grows up with. Examine those stories, my dear therapists out there. Go take a look at the grandparents. You're going to find there's a tremendous amount of information that you could find as you look closer, just as we had explored the need to further examine the relationship of a child with their father over time. Because dads, when they get older, they start to have they go through many hormonal changes. And in their hormonal changes, they very often get depressed. Well, grandparents also go through a lot of changes. And very often they could be perfectly fine until pain hits them. And then when they get hit with pain and racked with pain, they get depressed. And all of that is going to be an influence on your child. So I warn you, kids out there, it sounds like a good idea to have your parents living with you. But think about the effect. What is going to be the loyalties? What's going to be your priority of loyalties? According to the Japanese, and I love this system, they say there's a kind of a pyramid of loyalties, and these are the way your faithfulness goes. That once you become a spouse or dedicated to someone, your first priority is, number one, yourself. You must be okay with yourself. Do not betray yourself. Number two, your mate. Your mate comes above all else but yourself. Number three, your children. Your children come above all else but your mate. You never choose your children over your mate. And you never choose your children over yourself. And number four comes the in-laws, your parents. They're fourth on this pier, on this tier. They're going to be the fourth ones. Your children first, your parents next, and your friends after that. So if you think about it in the list of priorities, when a parent comes into your house, you now, as your parent has to take care of one of their parents, and they're taking care of their child. Where's their priority? Well, the priority is the child. So before you accept into your house or you make the suggestion, we're going to pull grandma or grandpa in here to live with us, they'll help us with babysitting. Think about it, friends. Think about it. Think about what you're doing and how it's going to handle. Maybe there's another way of doing it. Maybe you could get an apartment for grandma next door. Maybe she can have an apartment upstairs. But before she's in that physical house with you, think about the effects of it. It could be good. But it could also be very difficult. 212-209-2900. As I said, we need a lot of needs for books on the psychology of parents, grandparents, and grandparenting. Santa, that's another thing, being named after your grandparent. Here's the effect it has. It has the effect that if you're a mother, and let's say you're a woman, and you have very special feelings towards your daddy, right? And you love your daddy, but you can't get close to him because mom would get angry at you. So you can't get close to your father, but you love him. And then you have a child and you name him after your father. Right? And it always sounds like, oh, we're just naming him after grandfather. Well, what happens is your child winds up getting you a lot of the feelings directed towards him that would have been directed towards your father. So it gets really confusing, unconscious stuff. Again, in the book on grandparenting that should be written and the psychology of grandparenting, the naming of the child as it relates to the grandparents is very, very important. I'm going to name you after my dead aunt. Listen, why don't you, Dave, name me after your live puppy or something? Thank you.
This is listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you news, information, and programming meant to empower you. We need your support. If you go to our website, wbai.org, and press the donate button, for as little as $10 a month, you can become a sustaining member. You'll be making a tax-deductible contribution that helps us help you by bringing you truth in radio.
If you would donate to the station $200, you will get a chance to meet with me personally or talk to me on the phone about anything you want to talk about. 212-757-4488 is our number here. 212-757-4488. We're taking the calls right here, as opposed to at a call center, because I believe I have my people who are standing by ready to answer the phones. And if we're going to make these donations possible and we're going to make this happen, I want to have the people who are answering the phone who can take your calls, and they know all about our system. 212-757-4488. That's the office of that's the number of my office. And it is our people who are standing by. You'll hear Jamie Ross. You'll hear Marty Resnick, you'll hear Teresa Palmer, a number of people who will be answering these calls. Lisa Arnone will be taking these calls just to help you out and to get this through. 212-757-4488. Now, for this, you get a number of things. You'll get a one-time meeting with me. You will get a surprise choice of book. We have a thing. We have a library full of books that were donated to me, given to me by people who want to get on the air, you know. And they give us books, and we look through them. Some people get on the air, some don't. We have those books available, like a library. You could pick a book. So you'll take a choice of your own book. They're out in the waiting room. You'll take a choice. You'll have that book as well. That's a little bonus. An additional bonus is going to be, when you come in, I'm going to give you a copy of a CD of music that I'm going to create for you. I'm going to put together something. It'll be either jazz or a combination of things. But you're going to hear some music. And you know me and my music. So we've got a number of things being offered. $200 you get, but the main thing you're going to get is a consultation with me, and then goodies when you walk in the door. 212-757-4488. Now, let me talk to the people who have donated in the past. We did a fund drive a couple of months ago, and a couple of months ago, we offered some CDs. We offered Hate, the one about hatred, the feeling of hatred, and we offered Human Sexuality, two different CD sets. Because of something that took place with WBAI, the addresses of the donors can't be sorted out yet, because BAI went into a major move at that period of time. All you have to do is call my office, tell them you donated in the last fund drive, and we will send you the CDs. That's all. We just send them to you. That's it. We have them here. They're ready to package. We have your name, but we don't have the addresses. So call, say you made the donation, we'll check off your name, boom, we'll mail it out to you ourselves. My apologies. It took too long. I usually do not leave it up to WBAI to deliver premiums. I like to deliver them myself. As far as the consultation goes, that's a real easy one because I could deliver that right here. So if you have not had the consultation call, we thought we called everybody and offered them a consultation, but if you haven't gotten it from a previous call, call our office now, 212-757-4488. Say, I donated during the last fund drive. We'll find your name, and boom, we'll give you an appointment right away. 212-757-4488. We are going to offer an additional premium today, a new one. We're going to register it. This one is called Emotional Fragility. I'm going to put together three CDs for a donation of $100. And these three CDs are going to contain information about tricky memories, memories that kind of send you off to the edges sometimes, how you could shed the past, talk about the nature of crying, the nature of being ostracized. I'm going to talk about bipolarity, which I'll be talking about later in this program as well. I'm going to talk about manic love, powerlessness, managing chronic pain, emotions that you hate, what makes violence, social fears. All of these are going to be combined into a three CD set. Going to be jammed together. We're going to take pieces of information like we're doing today. I'm going to just shove them all together next to each other, and you'll learn about many different subjects. There might be a nice gift for you to give to people. 212-757-4488. The three CDs called Emotional Fragility, which you get right here. 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. You can make a donation with MasterCard, Visa, American Express. You can give us promissory notes, you know, but the trouble with those is rather than, unless you don't have a credit card, it's just so much easier for us if we get the credit card stamp right away. Then that money gets immediately applied. Whereas if you're going to send a check, we'll handle that as well. 212-757-4488.
This is Jamie Ross. I'm the office manager at the DeMille Center. I've known Armand DeMille for over 30 years. I'm proud to be working here with him and his team. I've seen clients who've entered the center and after one meeting have found hope and a new sense of direction, while before their challenges might have felt insurmountable. We do good work here. And although Armand will deny it, he is a magician. Support the Positive Mind and WBAI by donating $200 to take advantage of this consultation offer. Call 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488. We have people standing by, and if the lines are busy, please call back. 212-757-4488. This is Jamie Ross.
I would like to encourage you to donate to WBAI. The Positive Mind is your university of the human spirit. Also on WBAI, you hear Democracy Now! Amy Goodman could be the most important newscaster today. Call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Every cent makes a difference. If you can give $10 or $1,000, you can become part of this important team. 212-757-4488. Again, 212-757-4488. For a $200 donation, you get a meeting with Armand, plus a choice of book from our library, plus a bonus music CD. Any donation is acceptable. Please call 212-757-4488. That's 212-757-4488. Courage is the essence of WBAI. This is Lisa Van Gundy.
Hi, I'm Audrey Clark, and I'm from Guyana. I've been working with Armand DeMel for over 2 years. Support this station. They bring you news and information from around the world that you can't get anywhere else. You can donate any amount by calling 212-757-4488. Show your support for the Positive Mind, WBAI, by calling 212-757-4488. 212-757-4488 to make your contribution.
Well, this is Armand DeMille. This has been very interesting. I think there's going to be a lot more coming out of this. Grandparents, grandchilds. But, you know, I would love to get some grandparents' stories. Maybe this will get me to put together some kind of a... I'm going to issue it to somebody and tell them to put a book together on the psychology of grandparenting. I think it's important. I'd love to hear some stories. If you would, you can email me at Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D is my first name, at BrainLink, BrainLink.com. BrainLink.com. Good group of people. And you can get a copy of today's program on WBAI.org or at the website, thepositivemind.com. Nice to be with you, friends.
She was always giving us a warning, you know.
Might be snakes there in the grass.
She was looking out.
Grandma's hey.
I remember them well.
Grandma's hands clapped at church on Sunday morning.
She said,
Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning.
She said,
Gladys, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands.
Ooh. Look at him.
Grandma's hands. Soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hands used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hands used to lift her face and tell her,
she said,
baby, grandma understands that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hands.
Sunday morning. This song I'd like to pay homage to one of its members. Over the years, her importance has been diminished, her image tarnished, but to me, she'll always be a rare jewel. I've heard her called by many loving nicknames. Nana, Mimi, Maman, Big Mama, Poppy. But I, like millions of others, simply call her Grandma.
Ain't nothing like Grandma's hands.
Let me
you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no Albuquerque.
Drop no Africa, grandma's hand.